But right now, it is Indigenous Peoples Day in the United States of America. Ogama Gnu Ikwe is the exceptional news person for, of course, the Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. It's on in the 6 o'clock hour right after this show. If you're not listening to it, you're wrong. Ogama is currently out in Washington, D.C. With the protest out there. She's kind enough to take some time before her show to talk about Indigenous Peoples Day. Ogama, how are you?
You know, I am having an interesting day. I'm currently on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and I'm having mixed feelings right now on Indigenous Peoples Day at the National Capitol. It's been a very interesting morning.
Well, so, let's describe the scene here. I mean, how many people are out there for Indigenous Peoples Day?
Well, right now, nobody. It's just tourists. The Indigenous Peoples Day rally that took place today was actually in front of the White House at about 9 a.m. Eastern time is about when it started in front of the White House, but we left from Freedom Plaza at about 8. Mm-hmm. And there was several hundred people in attendance from all over the country, not just Indigenous peoples, but environmental leaders as well. BIPOC people, BIPOC leaders who are concerned about the climate crisis came from Alaska, from Florida, from Texas, from the southern bayous, from the East Coast, where they're putting in the Mountain Valley Pipeline from Line 3, from Line 5 in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So there was a lot of people in attendance today, this morning at the White House, but this afternoon we've been able to kind of take off and visit and see a few of the sites. I've never been here before personally.
It is quite magnificent in the sense being of as a place like a plaza with memorials on it. There's a lot of interesting things to see there. But as you said, you're on the Lincoln Memorial, and for Native Americans, I mean, once again, it's perspective. White America has a tendency of looking at Lincoln and seeing the guy that saved the Union from slavery in the Civil War. Native Americans, the view of Lincoln is very different because obviously of the way that it was what was handled the Native Americans and how of course they were rounded up, put into concentration camps, hung in mass, largest hanging I believe on U.S. territory by the government, and that was all under Lincoln, and his legacy with the Native Americans was pretty atrocious.
Yeah, and, you know, just as a Native person or person of color here for this event and here, you know, on behalf of the environment and seeing, you know, the reflecting pool on the National Monument right now is actually pretty low. And, you know, we're driving through the city and you're right, it's beautiful here. It's magnificent. There's monuments everywhere and those kinds of things. But it's like, I know who built these monuments. Mm-hmm. And I know what the men who are part of these monuments stood for. And then on top of it, you know, there's all these really beautiful, very, very high end, I guess, you know, kind of exasperating this idea of wealth. And yet all around you, you know, I seen a homeless encampment today, you know, just down the block from a Tiffany's jewelry store, mm-hmm. Where really wealthy people are walking in and out. And even here on the National Mall, there's people, out here, you know, with coolers, you know, offering, bottles of water and Gatorade, you know, that are unlicensed, then there's signs telling you not to buy from them. So it's this whole juxtaposition of, you know, wealth and poverty and who's important and why those things are important. So I'm seeing a lot of that here, which I can't say I'm surprised to be seeing. I kind of had to mentally prepare myself for this. I didn't know how I was going to react to it, but I think I'm probably reacting about as well as I expected to.
Well, and what you do is you're bringing in the what you're seeing here is the myth. I mean, it's we as a country have built these great Eurocentric white male, wealthy white male centric stories, which kind of are based on, you know, flimsy, you know, ness at best, and want to completely ignore the negatives there. I mean, it's kind of the concept of it's Indigenous Peoples Day. I don't consider it Columbus Day. And I grew up in Rhode Island, which was a lot of Italians. And I mean, the Italians loved Columbus Day because they felt it was an Italian American day. But the reality is that you can have an Italian American day. You can just leave Columbus out of it because that guy was atrocious. And yet, once again, you still have even in Minnesota where, you know, you have white politicians who are screaming, no, Columbus has to be remembered. And you just want to look and it's like, why? Why is this so such a threat to you to actually learn the actual history of the guy?
Right, exactly. I mean, Columbus did not, I mean, maybe he sailed the Ocean Blue in 1492, but he certainly didn't step foot in what is what we actually call America now. He actually landed on, what was it, Hispaniola, I believe, is
yep.
what he named it once he landed. And, you know, those people there are still suffering in the same way that people of color here in the United States are suffering from colonialism. And I think it's important to remember, too, you know, there is that threat of this very vague history that they intend, this is kind of white male perspective, intends to carry and feels very threatened that if you, you know, bring up that, oh, maybe that's not so accurate. But I think one thing that's really important for people of from everywhere in the world to remember is that we were all colonized. I mean, the most common holiday on the entire planet is independence from the British rule. There's like 429 countries, like 40 some countries. I don't even remember. It's some ridiculous number that celebrate independence from British rule.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ireland was fighting British rule as late as the 1990s, you know, like India and all these places. And I think people truly forget how close colonization is to all of us, that we were all colonized, that at one point we were all people who had our own indigenous ways and cultures and languages, and those were brutally snuffed out of us through colonialism and religion and, you know, just conquering. Mm. And I think that a lot of people who, you know, are white that feel maybe they have trouble connecting should remember that, you know, a lot of their ancestors were colonized too, and I think that helps to put it into perspective for a lot of people that, you know, we were all colonized and we don't have to live this way if we choose not to.
A lot of white settlers that came to the United States were running from in terror from what was what they left behind, you know, oppressive government regimes that were trying to wipe out their religion, their race, their region. And they left. I mean, it was coming, and it is quite bizarre. People got here and almost immediately forgot that they were persecuted and started to become the persecutors. Which, within regards to the Native Americans, the slave trade, you know, it really is an interesting dichotomy which exists within this country.
Right, and again, it's not just the U.S. too. This exists in Canada. This exists in South America. This exists in mm-hmm. Europe. I mean, these things exist all over. But I mean, if we're truly going to determine what we want the world to be, we have to acknowledge, okay, so up until now, the things that built the world maybe weren't the right things to do, but how are we going to move forward from them? And hanging on to this history in this way is the opposite of what we need to be doing. You know, Indigenous people are not out here on Indigenous People's Day demanding revenge, trying to do anything violent. We're just here asking for the truth to be told, and we've been asking for that for a long time, and that would go a long way for this to be the history of America and not just the history of Indigenous people. You know, Indigenous history is taught as the history of Indigenous people, not as American history. The same way that Black history is taught as the history of Black people and not as the American history of slavery. You know, the way that we even frame these things in our minds needs to change. And that's, I think, really what we're asking for ultimately in a lot of situations is simply recognition and respect as BIPOC people.
You know, Ogunba Ganu Ikwe is joining us once again, news person extraordinaire from the Native Roots Radio I Am Awake show, 6 o'clock hour right here on AM 950 right after this show. Ogunba, one of the things that's interesting for me and just from what I've noticed is I don't think I've ever had more Native American representation in my government than I've had right now. I mean, there are quite a few Native Americans within the Minnesota state government, the Biden administration, but yet at the same time, and something if you've listened to Ogunba during Native Roots Radio, she has talked extensively about Line 3. Here we are. It's kind of, it seems like we're making steps forward in representation, but we still have a lot of the same problems in the sense being that we can't stop Line 3, that treaties which should supersede the Constitution are once again being ignored as they always have been in this country. And it is frustrating because as we take steps forward in getting representation, it just doesn't seem like we're getting the results that we were expecting to get once we put that representation in.
Yeah, it definitely feels like the DAC's a little bit or the deck is a little bit stacked on that, you know. You're right, we have more Indigenous representation in our actual government in Minnesota than I think we've ever had before in history, including our lieutenant governor. And yet Line 3 is still coming through. Line 3 just has, as of last week, oil pumping through it. And the funny part about the treaties that you mentioned is that, if you haven't been listening on Native Roots Radio, where I do the news, is that Alberta, Canada, is invoking its treaty rights with the United States on behalf of the Line 5 fight in Wisconsin and Michigan. And the United States has, they're asking the United States to honor a treaty that they made with Canada about not interfering on one another's fossil fuel infrastructure or transportation. I forget exactly what the treaty was, and yet they continually ignore the treaty rights of Indigenous peoples in the U.S. and Canada. They continue to arrest us. Over 100 people were arrested today in front of the White House for asking Biden to shut down Line 3. Because we have Indigenous representation in our government in Minnesota. We have been peacefully fighting. We have fought in court. We have taken every possible course to say we were not consulted and this is wrong. And we are at the steps of the White House going, you need to do something about this. And yet we are still ignored. We're still persecuted. We're still arrested. We've done everything we were told to do. And yet it is still not enough. And on Indigenous Peoples Day, it's almost so frustrating. Mm-hmm. What more do you want us to do? What more could we possibly do to make it be known that we need to be heard on this issue, not just for ourselves, for Indigenous people, but for the climate? I mean, this is not something that Minnesota really needs.
Well, and one of the things from my perspective that I've seen that it blows my mind is it's almost as if the people behind these pipelines know they're wrong, know they're going to pollute, know it's ineffective, inefficient, know that the energy systems of our world are changing. They know all this, and they know that the Native Americans the Indigenous people of Minnesota have a right to stop this pipeline from coming through with the treaties, and yet they ignore it, and it seems as if the mentality is, well, in 50 years, we'll build a very nice memorial to all the people that try to stop this pipeline and say, gee, Willikers, we should have listened to you back then. That's the thing that's got to change. You got to change this mentality of, it's very Republican thing. Don't ask for permission, ask for forgiveness. And that is kind of where they still are with this stuff. And they don't seem to understand is that every time you don't ask for permission, you just ask for forgiveness. It just erodes any faith that you have in the system even further.
Right. There can't be any trust when you're going about your dealings with tribal governments and BIPOC people in that way, that, oh, well, you know, we think this is the right thing to do, so we're going to ignore you. And then, oh, you were right, and we should do something about that. So here's a very nice statue in your honor, or here's Black Lives Matter Plaza at the U.S. Yeah. Capitol. But those are strictly performative actions. They're performative, and the word perform is no accident in the performative action. Mm-hmm. Somebody outside our hotel who's part of this event was just talking about that this morning. These are performative actions that don't actually help. Mm-hmm. They don't prevent these things from happening. And you're right, we need to shift that focus from asking permission to looking and respecting our BIPOC communities and our youth leaders and our Indigenous communities and our Black communities and our Hispanic communities, all of these different communities that we have in this country, and looking at them and asking their permission. Is this what you think is the right thing to do? And hearing those voices. And as Americans, it's been a fight over and over again for us to do that. And I, you know, being here at the Lincoln Memorial, I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many different types of people here. I mean, I think there's more diversity here than I've seen probably anywhere in Minnesota. And it's beautiful to see so many different types of people here. Mm-hmm. But to see so many different types of people here and looking at these monuments and realizing that we don't all have equal representation and our voices aren't being heard in the same way is painful.
Mm-hmm. One of the things which too, and the final point I want to make with you here on this, is that there is this tendency to believe that, and I think we both can agree, Donald Trump, his entire administration, my God, they were atrocious. It was one of the worst things that ever happened to this country, hands down. But the mentality of we're not as bad as that doesn't go far enough. And that especially when you get, and I get tired of this over and over again. Trust me, how many election cycles I've gone through. I get real tired of Democratic DFL politicians promising the world and the sun, saying we'll stop this, we'll protect this, we'll do this, and they just don't follow through. And then when it comes through for re-election time, they're out there saying, well, we're still better than Trump. Yeah, I mean, true. No one's going to argue that. But at the same time, you can't, you know, the amount of frustration and people that just walk away from the entire process because they haven't delivered on those promises, they haven't fulfilled, they're just banking on the fact that we're not as bad as Trump is what there's going to be their re-election campaign. The reality is they need to deliver more than just slogans at the beginning of their first campaign.
Exactly. And, you know, that's kind of how a lot of people, Indigenous people in Minnesota, are feeling about Governor Walz. Governor Walz promised through social media and throughout his campaign to the Indigenous people who turned out in droves to get him and Peggy Flanagan elected that Line 3 was a non-starter for him and that, you know, this wasn't going to be an issue because he said he didn't agree with it, plowing through Indigenous lands. And then, you know, the first thing he did when he got to office was no different than Trump putting through Keystone XL. You know, it was an absolute betrayal. And it's super frustrating to listen to these same things over and over. And I haven't been through that many election cycles, but believe me, I know what you're talking about. You know, like, I'm in my 30s, so I've been through, and, you know, since voting since I was 18, I haven't been through that many election cycles. But even just watching it thus far has been, it's been obvious how much gets promised and how much does not get done. And the Biden administration has made a lot of promises for climate and for our BIPOC communities that he is not being held accountable for. And that's a big part of why we were here today.
And it should be noted, once again, Governor Walz, President Biden, they're doing a lot of good things, but they have failed the Indigenous people. There were promises made by both of their campaigns, and they've just not followed through. And it's nice that there's better representation, but it's got to be followed through with action, and that's just not happening. If you're not listening to Ogama's news, I cannot recommend her newscast more because it is the only place you will hear Native American news, Indigenous news, every weeknight here in the 6 o'clock hour with Robert Pilot and crew. You know, you guys have been talking about the Line 3. You guys talked about Line 5 as well. And as a matter of fact, you broke down the other day. I heard that the talk about the Canadians invoking a treaty to try to keep this pipeline going in Michigan through the Mackinac Straits. What do you guys have coming up tonight? What are you guys going to be talking about during your show tonight?
I'm sure we'll do a recap of the events that happened today for the People versus Fossil Fuels rally at the White House. I'm sure we'll talk a little bit about some other events that might have happened around the country for Indigenous Peoples Day. And then we have Dr. Anthony Stately of Native American Community Clinic, who's supposed to join us tonight, I believe. Don't quote me on that. And always Lewis Eagle Thunder, who does a fantastic history segment.
Yes.
And he's on TikTok as Lakota Guy on TikTok, and then our fabulous hosts, Robert and Wendy Pilot, who always steer us in the right direction. So it's going to be a great show tonight, as it always is.
I love Lewis. I am too old to be on TikTok, though. It's I've officially aged out. Oh, no, you're not welcome here. Oh, okay. I'm an old man now. But it is a fantastic show. Native Roots Radio, I Am Awake. That is coming up and going to be on, of course, at 6 o'clock weeknights right here. Ogama Gnu Ikwe. Ogama, have a safe rest of your trip out there. Safe travels back, and hope to hear from you before too long again, okay?
All right, yes, thanks so much for having me on, Matt. I appreciate your time. Have a great afternoon.
Have a great afternoon. Ogama Gnu Ikwe from Native Roots Radio on Indigenous Peoples Day, and still the great shrug that happens in regards to the Indigenous people of this country. Doesn't matter the party, just the same result. And that's the truth. I can say this. When it comes to Indigenous people issues, when it comes to veterans issues, it doesn't matter the administration. No one's doing any damn thing to fix these things. And that's the real frustrating part.